Well, welcome. You guys can be seated. How are we doing this morning? Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, I want to wish a very special Mother's Day to the moms that are with us today. We are so grateful for you, like we said earlier. And we want to thank the Armellini family. They donated cookies for the moms, okay? For the moms, guys, okay? So on your way out, if you didn't get one of those, moms, please grab one of those. And guys, grab one of those for the mom in your life. Well, hey, one of my favorite moms is here with us today. And it's fun because through my life, like, we've done all kinds of different ministries in different places. But my wife has been my biggest supporter. And I get to be hers, and I've been so grateful for her. And for Mother's Day, I said, hey, Sarah Lynn, would you like to be here and preach and bring the word today? And so through Bible college, my wife helped me with my Greek. She helped me with my Bible classes. Like, literally, I wouldn't have passed if it wasn't for her. So would you guys please give a warm welcome to Sarah Lynn Grubb?
Thank you. I love you. Thank you. All right. New vintage. How are we doing today? Woo! It is so good to be here. Matt is so kind. But I got to say, if you want to get married, marry someone that wants the best for you, that brings out the best in you, right? Not someone, I don't know, that's jealous or you're like, Matt just always is cheering me on. And so I'm so grateful for that. Well, it is Mother's Day, and a happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. And I know this day, for some of us, is a yay day. And for others of us, it's a difficult day. Whether your relationship is wonderful with your mom, that's awesome, but maybe it's not. Whether your relationship with your kids is great, or whether there is distance and hurt. If you've lost a mom, if you've lost a child, if you've wanted to have kids and you can't, today may hold sadness and loss. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so sorry. You are loved and you are seen by your Creator. Get a little emotional. And I believe that it's not an accident that we're here together today. My prayer, as I have just been praying and prepping, is that as we look at God's word together, that each one of us would leave closer to Him, challenged and inspired by His word, and open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And if you're not a mom, motherhood affects you one way or the other. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. We all come from a mom. Now, I'm sorry. I know I went deep really, really fast. But depending on where you are on that scale of yay to I don't love this day, you're part of this community. And I think God has something to say to us today. I'm one of those people that likes to find things in common with other people. I value connections from the simplest to our birthdays in the same month to I love knowing where people are from. A lot of people in Escondido have been here for a couple of generations, which is very cool. I'm not from Escondido. Matt's not from Escondido. So I love just hearing where you're from, where you grew up. If you're from the East Coast, yay, I'm from the East Coast. We have that in common. If you pronounce pecan the correct way, you're my people. Whoa. Matt pronounces it the incorrect way. I like to find out if we like the same kind of movies, TV shows. I am so sorry, Justin, about my mic. If you've been to Oregon, it's my favorite state. Multnomah Falls is my happy place. I used to run races, and one of my favorite things about a race is the shared experience that you have with complete strangers. It's kind of weird. People cheering you on that you'll never meet in your life. And we all have this strange, sadistic love of running in common. It's weird, but it unites us. And guys, with so many things dividing us these days, looking for things we have in common feels like my small act of rebellion. A step towards fighting for some unity in the midst of division that is so prevalent in our world. Now, there are times to not agree with everyone. I know that. But if I want to share the good news of Jesus in my life, I got to build a bridge, not burn one. So I like to find things that are in common with people. There are actually a lot of things that people have in common. We all love. We all hurt. We all need sleep. Whew, I was up at 2:10 a.m. I did fall back asleep, but we all need food. Anybody get hangry when they don't have their food, right? We each need to experience community and belonging. We were each created with purpose. intentionally by God. Psalm 139 says that he knit us together in our mother's wombs, and we are each fearfully and wonderfully made, every person on this earth. And whether you believe that or not, I encourage you to at least explore the idea of a creator and of a savior in our time together today. You and I have a mind, we each have a soul, we each have a body, and we each have a heart. And today we're going to talk about Jesus' hot take on one of those. But before we jump in, I like cheese. I'm a fan of cheese. So we're going to have a little cheese in church today. You guys ready? Okay. I like crowd participation, my friends, to get y'all waked up. Riley, thank you for leading us in worship. It was amazing today. But you guys are going to know really quickly that I was born before 1980. So I'm going to sing a lyric, and I want you to sing the missing lyric back to me, okay? Okay? Okay. Okay. Don't go breaking my
heart.
Don't tell my heart. Oh, don't tell my
heart.
My achy breaky
heart.
It's my favorite one. Shot through the
heart.
Come on now, Bon Jovi. Quit playing games with my
heart.
Awesome. And last one. Sing it with me. There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the
night.
Very good. You guys sound good. All right. Two more. Trust in the Lord with all of your
heart.
Love the Lord your God with all of your
heart.
Awesome. What are we talking about today?
Heart.
The heart. And we've been walking through the Beatitudes as a church, the hot takes that Jesus said that go against what you and I typically want to do, how we want to respond in a situation. The Bible calls it our flesh or our human nature. See, I want control. Anybody else? I want to come out on top. I don't want to be taken advantage of. So we're going to read through the Beatitudes together now, and then we're going to spend some time today on verse 7. Starting at the top, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And that's where we land today, May 12th, 2024. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Would you pray with me for just a moment? God, you are good. You alone have the words of life. God, open our hearts, our mind, our ears to your message today. Your word is alive and active. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this message that Jesus is giving, it's a call. It's a challenge. It's a truth that each one of us must wrestle with today. He is laying out the kingdom of God and what it looks like. And this is controversial. It was controversial then. It's controversial now. Jesus was Jewish, and the Jews were not the political power when he was saying these words. They were oppressed by a heavy Roman rule. So these fresh teachings, this hot take that Jesus shares, he doesn't quote any other sources. They are radical. What does Jesus mean when he says blessed life? Well, the Greek word for blessed, which the New Testament is written in Greek, is makarios. And different commentators said it's very difficult to translate. It can mean, oh, how fortunate, how happy, how flourishing, how blissful. And my favorite is the good life. The good life is for those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. The good life is for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We all know deep in our core that our happiness, that the good life has nothing to do with our career, with our financial gain. Poor, mourn, meek, hunger, merciful, pure. What do you think about when you think of those words, just on their own? Are these attributes celebrated in our culture today? Are they words of strength? How many of us were like, well, that's not me, or that's not who I want to be? Pure and You know, it's been really good to walk through these each week, seeing the true blessing, a glimpse into the good life and the overflow that comes from each of these postures. But maybe you're like, you know, I've seen too much. This world is a horrible place filled with horrible people. Maybe you've seen too much. Humanity is beyond repair. I'm beyond repair. There's no way I can have a pure heart after what I've been through, after what I've seen. See, I know my heart. You know your heart. God knows each of our hearts. I mean, I couldn't write these words. That is too high a standard that any of us can reach on our own, which is kind of the point, right? We need a Savior. We can't do this on our own. We need Jesus. And one of the reassuring things that Jesus told us in the book of John, chapters 15 and 16, John was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers. And John records that Jesus said that he would send the promised Holy Spirit when he was gone. And he would be our counselor and our advocate. The Old Testament and the writer of 143 calls it the good spirit. Psalm 143 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Now, you guys, the older I get, I like level grounds. I love to hike, but the roots in the way or a rock or a little pebble, my ankle, anybody, just me? Level ground is a good thing. The good spirit will lead us on level ground. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13 through 14 says, "When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the good Spirit would be a deposit in our hearts when we believe. And as we live this life walking towards Jesus' return, the Spirit would help us. Now, you don't just walk away from a deposit. If you put a deposit down on a house, what's your intention? To buy that house. And how much more valuable are people, are we, God's creation? He is going to return. So we are tasked, we are given the opportunity to live the life in front of us, to live the life given to us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And y'all, when we view life as a gift, it changes the way we live. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we treat people. It is a gift. And the call to live life in a way that's beyond us, to live in the kingdom of God, the upside down, not my will, but your will be done, kingdom of God life. That's what we're aiming for. To live what Jesus called in John 10:10, life to the full, the good life. Not the easy life, not that I get everything I want life, everything I earn life, everything I think I'm entitled to life. Not the everything, I get everything I pray for life. But it is good life. I like definitions. So just so we're clear, we're going to define what the heart is today. Now, we have a physical heart and we have a spiritual heart. Dictionary.com defines heart as a hollow, pump-like organ of blood circulation composed mainly of rhythmically contractile smooth muscles located in the chest between the lungs and slightly to the left, consisting of four chambers. Right? We all have a heart, right? You got a heart? Yes. Another definition. The center of the total personality, especially with reference to intuition, feeling, or emotion. Capacity for sympathy, affection, spirit, courage, enthusiasm, the innermost or central part of anything, the core. The Bible defines the heart. The Greek word used for heart in the New Testament is cardia, where we get cardiac. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is either liv or lib. The word heart occurs over 800 times in the Bible. Now, when the word heart is used in the Bible, it is referring to where we feel our emotions, the seat of our emotions. The Bible is full of real people who had real struggles, who experienced real joy. And so as we read them, they're not some fairy tales that were made up, but they were people that felt pain and anguish, who had broken hearts. Psalm 69 says, "Their insults have broken my heart, and I am in despair. If only one person would show me pity, if only one would turn and comfort me." I think we've all felt like that at some point in our lives. King David goes on to write this in Psalm 51. "My sacrifice, O Lord, is a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise." This was written after King David had had an affair with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and realizes his sin. It took a while. He was a little slow. It took a while to realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But then God didn't just kick him when he's down. Right? How beautiful that God does not despise a broken heart, a heart that's turned away from sin. Now, there are consequences for our sin. There were consequences for David's sin, but he was not despised by God. In the Bible, we read about people who experienced fear as we do today. This is a little extreme. Maybe you can relate, maybe not, but Joshua 7 tells us that because the Israelites were unfaithful to the Lord, Now, in the Old Testament, if you're going into battle, you got to seek the Lord. You got to ask him. Because if you go without him, you're not going to win. So time and time again, we kind of see this repeated. So they go after their enemy, and the enemy did not back down, and some of the Israelites were killed. And the text says in Joshua, at this, the hearts of the people melted with fear. The hearts of the people melted with fear and became like water. Have you ever, your heart just felt like water? Well, I experienced this a couple weeks ago in our kitchen. I came home after a staff meeting to a snake. It slithered away from me and went under my stove. Now, I know some of y'all love snakes, but I am not one of those people. Satan came in the form of the snake in the Garden of Eden. It's in the Bible. I'm out. Snakes, y'all can live in the woods, in the wilderness, in the jungle. You can even live in someone's house if there's an agreement that you stay in the cage. That's fine. That's up to you. But you don't need to be up in my house. I just discovered some mouse presents the day before. So apparently the snake was coming in after the mice, and I interrupted its lunch at 1:30 in the afternoon. I screamed, and my heart felt like water. Like my arms went limp. Oh, my friends came over to get the snake. I stood up on a chair. I couldn't even walk around my house. I still can't walk around my house without shoes on. Have you been there? Just weak. Your heart is just full of fear. Our hearts can experience sadness, depression. You're glad you came to church today, aren't you? You're like, wow, this is an encouraging message, huh? Read through the book of Job or Ecclesiastes. There's not always an explanation for why things happen. There just isn't. Job's friends tried to come up with reasons that his children had died. They tried to come up with reasons why he had gotten sick. But Job was doing all the right things. See, our Creator God, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is our Creator. And this side of heaven, there's not always going to be a bow at the end of every situation and circumstance. We're not going to always understand. And sometimes, guys, we create God in our image instead of realizing that we were created in his image. His love is deeper than any love or contentment or fulfillment that we could ever imagine. Ecclesiastes says, everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. Contentment is a heart issue. Our hearts can lead us astray if we're not careful. I heard a pastor say, our emotions are great passengers, but terrible drivers. And then thank you, Jeremiah, for this one. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Wow. Okay, so how do we have a pure heart? Well, our hearts are at the core of our physical and spiritual life. So to keep them healthy, it is incredibly important. And not only spiritually, but physically. Here's a little PSA. You're welcome. What is the number one killer in America, guys? Heart disease. I looked up all the stats, but I'm not going to share them because they're pretty overwhelming. Many of us have been either impacted ourselves or had loved ones impacted by heart disease. I was born with a hole in my heart. What leads to heart disease? Anybody? Do you know? Because you should know. Stress. Not exercising, right? Not getting a lot of sleep. Too much alcohol. Smoking. Like, again, aren't you glad you came to church today? But see, there's a correlation, I believe, with our physical hearts and our spiritual hearts. Like our core. We don't just wake up healthy one day. We got to take care of this body, this life that was given to us. So, our physical heart, it's a pump. And with each heartbeat, it sends blood throughout our bodies, carrying oxygen to every cell. And after delivering the oxygen, it returns to the heart. It makes our body strong, delivering blood to all the organs as well. And science and scripture both show that life is in the blood. So without blood being pumped to every organ, we couldn't survive. Our hearts keep our blood moving. Our spiritual hearts, the seat of our emotions, keep our lives healthy, going towards God or not. Healthy, moving away from self-destruction, away from actions, away from sins. So to keep our hearts, our cure, healthy, going in the right direction, we have to pay attention to the health of our hearts. How can we keep our hearts pure, free from contamination? It's not easy today with all of the things, with all of the people and the desires and everything warring for our attention. Not only around us, but in us. The core of this passage has to do with our loyalty, having an undivided heart towards God, a heart that is seeking his purposes, his kingdom. And like our bodies need exercise and sleep and water to stay healthy, we have to exercise to put into practice the teachings of Jesus, to feed and nourish and even rest our spiritual hearts. Matt shared a couple of weeks ago that what we feed grows. Have you ever thought about what you're feeding your heart? What you're consuming, watching, reading, who you're letting influence you and how you see the world, what you're meditating on and dwelling on, what you're telling yourself. I love that song, Who You Say I Am, because if you really start to believe I'm a child of God, no matter what life looks like, no matter what things I've walked through, I am a child of God. It changes us. It transforms us from the inside out. We're going to look at Psalm 119 because it gives us some insight on how to keep our hearts pure. And the principles of the scripture are for everyone. Even though it says young people, it's not just for the young people, okay? It's for everyone. So how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. See, there's a roadmap that the psalm gives us in how to keep our hearts pure. How to stay on this path of purity, and it is action. It takes work. So there's four words I want to look at today. Live, seek, praise, and meditate. Live. Be intentional in how you live according to God's truth and God's word. Seek God with your heart, with your motives. Why are you doing something? Check yourself. Praise God. Rejoice in following him. I'm going to pause for just a second because I'm a worship leader. If y'all aren't singing in church, I got to ask you why. Time and time again, it's actually a command to sing. And whether you think you sing off key, maybe you don't like the songs, maybe you don't feel like it. Those are flimsy excuses. We have the opportunity every week to come together and worship the Lord as a church. Don't miss it. Worship in your car, worship at home, worship all the places, but especially when we come together. Meditate. What do you sit in? What do you dwell on? What do you ruminate on? What do you play over and over in your mind? Do some of those recordings, tapes, I'm old school, so tapes need to be replaced with the goodness of God, the good news of his love for you. Live, seek, praise, meditate. So four questions we need to ask ourselves. How are you living? What are you seeking? Who are you praising? And what are you meditating on? How are you living? What are you seeking? Who are you praising? And what are you meditating on? How you and I answer these four questions has a direct correlation with our heart health. And I want to take just a moment, and I want you to ask yourself this question. What do I value in the deepest parts of my heart? Psalm 37:4 says to take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Living an undivided, loyal heart with an undivided, loyal heart to the Lord is a way of life. It's not just a faith or religion that shows up on Sundays when we're together or when we're listening to a message later in the week, having a little God time, or gathering for student ministry or young adults or growth groups or putting on a holy persona on social media. The gospel, the good news of Jesus is transformative. It does not leave me and you the same. It is life. It is real. It is the good life. It makes me think of Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso. The first time you meet him, he's coming onto the soccer field in England from Mexico, and he yells, "Football is life!" This guy is so enthusiastic. There's no doubt. This man loves football. In the same way, maybe we don't go running around yelling at people, but we should be passionate in our undivided loyal hearts to God. Everyone should know, whether we ever say a word, that what we live for and care about is beyond ourselves. that at our core, Jesus is our life. But do we want it? Jesus asked several times in the Bible when people came to him to be healed. He could see that they couldn't walk. He could see that they were blind. And he still asked, "What do you want? What do you want?" And they would say it. There's something about acknowledging what we want that I believe God honors. Do I want to see God? The hard reality is some people don't. Like, a lot of days I'd rather cling to what I can hold, what I can control, what I can see and understand, not realizing that where my heart's affection is directed can either lead me to life or not. And in surrendering our heart's deepest desires, truest affections to God, he gives us so much more in return. Matthew 6 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So to our four words, I'm going to add two more. Live, seek, praise, meditate. Ask and practice. Ask God for help. Ask God to help you desire to have a pure heart. "God, I can't see you in this situation. It's too painful. It's too hard. I can't let go." Ask God to help you let go of unforgiveness or pride or control or whatever is taking up way too much residence in your heart. This is a short verse that you can memorize this week. "Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me so that I can keep running this race. A heart that seeks your will above my own. A heart that chooses to trust and not control." And our final word is practice. Put purity into practice. Make one change this week. If you want bigger muscles, you got to work out. "I don't lift weights, so I don't have big muscles." If you want to have a pure heart, work on it. You don't just wake up one morning with a pure heart towards your coworkers, your neighbors, your spouse. You could ask someone to hold you accountable in the way that you talk. Maybe you talk about people a lot. Maybe you cuss a lot. Maybe you tell jokes that you wouldn't share if Jesus was in the room. Well, guess what? He's always in the room. Maybe it's not watching TV for a week. Just to spend time with your family. What's one thing you can do to help course correct your heart? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus had walked through the Beatitudes and walked through the different ways of living in this upside-down kingdom of God, he says, "Put this into practice." A wise man is a man that builds his house on a rock in the same way you are wise when you practice what I teach. I love that because there's a lot of grace in practice. I'm going to close with this verse. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And the writer continues, "What you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So finally, have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you surrendered your will, your kingdom for his kingdom? If not, I just got to ask you why. What's holding you back? Do you want to see God? Matt and I would love to talk to you in the lobby if you have questions about following Jesus. You can talk to any of the other staff. And if you've been walking with him for a while, man, ask him to create in you a clean heart if this just seems hard, because life is hard. But God is faithful. And he offers us the good life. But do we want it? Let's pray. God, you are so good. I'm so grateful that you did not leave us to walk this out alone. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, show us something new this week that we don't know about you. Create in us clean hearts and renew steadfast spirit within each of us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, can we thank Sarah Lynn for bringing the message?